Mike Davidson is with us this morning. Mike is the co-director of Core Issues Trust, an organisation that offers therapy. That's how they describe it, to homosexual men and women who seek a change in their sexual preference. Good morning to you, Mike.
Hello, Stephen.
Good morning. So is therapy a type of conversion therapy? Is it a talking therapy? Is it a talking therapy that seeks to change someone's sexuality?
It's never one thing, Stephen. We use standard psychological counselling and therapeutic approaches to address this issue. So different people trained in different ways will use whatever modality they have been trained in to bring to bear on this question. So conversion therapy, of course, is a term invented by the LGBT activists. And it's a very, it's a word with a mission. It's designed to do something. So it's not a term that we would use.
Well,
we don't offer it.
Yeah, it's not a term that you would use, but does the talking therapy that you do support, is the objective to change someone's sexuality, to seek to convert their sexuality?
This is really difficult to explain and to perhaps hear, Stephen. We don't sit anybody down and pray that they will change. When people come, we listen to what they're wanting to achieve, and some of them want to get away from things, that behaviors that are just not consistent with their own values. Some have addictions that they want to get away from. Some have never acted on their homosexual feelings and they want to deal with those issues. And what we do is we work with them towards the goal that they established. Now, it's true, we come from a point of view that says we believe in some cases sexual feelings do shift. Some people come to us and they say, well, actually, this is not for me, and I want to go in a different direction. They have every right, and they should be supported to do that. So, you know, this is about respecting the autonomy of adult people, because that's all we work with. We don't work with minors, who have a different goal. They've tried gay. They've tried going in that direction, and it hasn't worked for them. And we feel that that needs to be supported.
But have you been through, yourself, this talking therapy?
Yes, Stephen. I was conflicted. I was a married man, and I had inclinations in that direction that were troublesome, and for me, and for my wife. And there came a day when I decided I wanted to see what I could do about it. So over a period of about 3 years, I worked with different counselors and at one time briefly with a psychiatrist. They didn't have some magic exotic therapy that they used on me, but they listened to me, they worked with me, and over time, I think because of the quality of the care that I was given, the respect that I was given, the understanding that I was given, I was able to work out my issues. And as I was able to gain in confidence and assertiveness and to reestablish all of those things, so things began to move in my life. And I think that that's a legitimate process that we should be supporting.
Why would you want to suppress your natural sexual feelings?
Well, one man's suppression is another man's discipline. And I have a faith, and I do believe the biblical orthodox view on sexual ethics is the one that I want to follow. That's point one, number one. But point number two is this. Throughout the generations, from Freud, Anna Freud, Bieber, Sacharides, there have always been theoretical clinicians who have argued that in some cases homosexuality is changeable, that behaviors can change, and that as those change, very often feelings begin to shift.
And therefore, does logic follow that heterosexuals can change, and someone could talk a heterosexual into being homosexual? Does that follow?
Well,
in your view,
what we do see, Stephen, I've never met somebody who has asked to become a homosexual person.
Maybe you should get out more.
I've seen lots of people in later life who suddenly do go in a same-sex attracted direction. That's a phenomenon that happens. We know that. Now, the question is that because their whole lives they repressed it, or are there other things that we need to look at? And one point of view would say that's about suppression. That person was suppressing their sexuality. But another point of view would look very closely at what was happening in that person's life. And there may be alternative expressions. The issue here is that there are diverse ideological points of view on how homosexuality develops in an individual.
And in your view, are there the same diverse factors in how someone is heterosexual?
Well, it seems in the human species we have these two phenomena. But what in my opinion, children are born to develop their sexual preference and patterning, and that it happens over time. It doesn't happen as something that is a result of some kind of hard wiring in the human genome. We know scientifically that is not the case. There is no mental health body that is saying that is the case. It develops. Now,
sorry, what develops? What develops?
Human sexuality. And human sexuality is multifaceted.
So you don't think someone has a genetic disposition to what their sexuality is going to be in life? You don't think people's sexuality they are born with?
No, I don't. And neither does the Royal College of Psychiatrists. Neither does the American Psychological Association. Neither does the BACP. They all say that there is a genetic contribution. The largest study by Ghana in 2019 looked at 400,000 in its population, came to the conclusion that there is no gay gene.
No, that's not true.
The same thing as the Human Genome Project.
No, that's not true. You're misquoting that, aren't you?
No, I am not.
So what you're saying this morning is that there is no gay gene, according to that study. It was actually published in Science.
That's right, in 2009.
Correct. But what it actually said is that a genetic analysis of almost 500,000 people has concluded there is no single gay gene. That's a hell of a lot different from what you've just said, that there is no gay gene. What they actually said was there's no single gay gene. So in other words, there could be many gay genes or many different factors.
But they haven't found them, Stephen. That's the point. They haven't even found the epigenetic material. What they have found is that there is definitely a contribution and we don't understand it. And that is why we need the scientific method and not to close down on one ideological point of view. We're not in the position to be able to do that.
So what you're also not quoting when you talk about science and research is that Harvard and MIT researchers concluded genetics could account for between 8 to 25% of same-sex behaviour across the population. When the whole genome is considered, 5 specific genetic variants were found to be particularly associated with same-sex behaviour.
8 to 25%. So the other 75% comes from where, Stephen?
But my point to you is, when I started revealing to you that actually I've looked at the science, that's a far cry away from the statement that you are putting out there, there's no gay gene, according to the research.
Believe that, I don't believe that is the truth. The fact is, we cannot settle on a genetic argument in terms of the development of homosexuality. I understand that some people can make that statement confidently. Many others do not. Now, we can go on and on about this, or we can recognize that there is diversity here. And if we want to resolve a problem, it is going to be that both sides of the equation sit down and work out how this manifests in the way we work out, you know, how we work with clients and people who are affected by this. It is not going to be suitable to just go with one point of view, which is what we are having. It's this viewpoint discrimination that is causing conflict all over the world, I would say, by design. And what we need to do is get to a point where we can have a conversation and that scientific methods can be brought to bear on these issues. But claiming that there's only one group who can hold the scientific point of view and no other is just not going to be... going to lead to a resolution of this issue.
And when you quote the science, have you any qualifications?
Well, I have a PhD in social science. I think that that definitely gives me the ability to read scientific analysis.
Any qualifications in genetics?
No, I'm not a geneticist, Stephen. I am a person with lived experience. Working out the issues that I am dealing with a community who longs to be able to go in a new direction and won't be bullied by the LGBT community into accepting something that doesn't work for them.
Well, look, let's talk about your lived experience only because you're comfortable doing so. And obviously, to the extent that you're not, just tell me, that's fair enough. So, in terms of your lived experience, do you believe that your heterosexuality was innate? That you were born with your heterosexuality and that it was...
Well,
you believe?
I definitely was attracted to little girls in the playroom and that developed. And then I guess there was a fork in the road and I discovered something else in my life.
When you were a child, you were attracted to little girls, is what you were saying.
Definitely. Yes. I can give you anecdotes that show me very clearly. I remember kissing a girl and being slapped on the face. You know, there were all sorts of childish things that happened that tell me that I was exploring sexuality and that was something that was attractive to me. Now, later on in life, I also experienced that I was attracted to certain boys under certain conditions. And that was, you know, as I say, a fork in the road, something that I began to experiment with.
And some people are naturally... They would argue attracted to both sexes. It's called bisexuality.
Exactly.
What's wrong with that?
Here's the point, Stephen. Our country at the moment is focusing on only gay affirmation therapy, which means that for the bisexual, they have one option, and that is to enhance their homosexual inclinations. But we do not provide anything for those bisexual people who want to enhance their heterosexual potential. We are going to do damage to those people if we say to them, look, if you experience homosexuality, you are gay. We can't do that. It's unethical and it's unfair. And that's one of the reasons, the fact that our population contains many who have mixed attraction, that means that we have to approach this from a very different point of view. We cannot, you know, not my side, not the other side, We have to come right down the middle and look at what is suitable for the client who comes to us.
Why don't you just accept yourself for who you are?
I have, Stephen. That's why I'm comfortable speaking to you about it today. I am a man who has experienced mixed feelings and got to a point in my life where I chose to stay with the woman I am now married to for 42 years. And I think that if I choose to do that, I don't think it's a big ask for society to respect that and to give me access to the help that I needed at a point when, it was clear I had to make a decision in the direction I was going.
And how do you think talking therapy, because that's what you're wanting to protect, isn't it? You're wanting to protect the ability for someone to help yourself talk yourself out of your attraction. How do words do that? Any more than you can't talk yourself out of being thirsty, you can't talk yourself out of being hungry. How on earth can you talk yourself out of natural instinct?
Well, I think we have to be careful not to trivialise what we mean by talking therapy. All we're saying there is that this is through speech, this is through conversation therapy. Now, how does it happen? Well, as I alluded to, the quality of my relationship with my therapist, the fact that they were present, the fact that this was a salient relationship, I connected with this individual, I trusted this individual. They challenged me. Many times they questioned even my marriage at times. But what they did do was give me a connection that fulfilled a very deep and basic need within my life to be heard and understood as a man who is struggling with his sexuality. And if you've got that quality in a pastor or a therapist or any mentor who is genuinely a safe person when you're dealing with this issue, I would say that goes a long way. Now, if that
this debate is today, Mike, is that when that pastor or person that religious leader, there's no one questioning whether you should have access to such a person. The debate is as to when you are speaking to that person and wanting to be heard. Why should that person not be saying to you what you're feeling is natural? What you're feeling is part of you. Do not try to suppress part of you or your sexuality. That's the debate.
Well, the 2015 Memorandum of Understanding on Conversion Therapy in the UK provided for exactly that. So anybody who goes to any of the mental health bodies, that is exactly the line they will get. But that's my point. There is no ideological diversity. That's the direction they've gone in. We, under the International Federation for Therapeutic and Counseling Choice, have gone in a different direction. We say that it would be unethical to promise anybody change, but that it, in some circumstances and with cooperation and motivation and through skilled therapeutic interventions, for some people it is possible. So here's the problem, Stephen. When I was thrown out of the British Psychodrama Association because of my views on homosexuality, and I was no longer allowed to complete what I had already done for 3 years, what that meant was the door for anybody who held a different point of view could no longer be sanctioned in the UK. That's what happened. And what that means now is that there is no training, there is no collegiality, there is no interaction with people who are better trained than we are, because we have been completely marginalized. If we want to resolve this, we need to regulate, not ban. We need to train people. We need to make sure that guidance and ethical procedures are
train people. Train people to help reinforce what many people would argue is some type of dangerous, ludicrous suggestion that their sexuality is unacceptable or wrong.
You're not arguing with me, Stephen. Actually train people to
do that.
You are arguing with no less than Dr. Lisa Diamond in the American Psychological Association, whose own words are that born gay is dead. We can't use that terminology any longer. It doesn't hold up in the science.
It holds up with many scientists, and it holds up with how the government has legislated, hasn't it? And you're right, you were thrown out of the British Psychodrama Association. Your professional status was withdrawn. And I want to come back to more to the lived experience, Mike. And I want to repeat that question. Do you think if you sat in a room with any therapist, they could take your thirst away?
Well, you're arguing from a point of view of born gay. You know the answer. I don't support the notion.
Could someone take your thirst away? The answer is no.
They could equip me and empower me to know that I need to get up and turn a tap on and hold a glass under it and put it to my lips.
How is it empowering you to prevent your natural?
There you go again. It's your assumption. I don't share the assumption.
Well, the reason why I'm presuming it is because you didn't want your same-sex attraction, but it happened anyway. That would suggest to me it was natural. You didn't want it, and it happened anyway.
I didn't choose it, but I had choices around it. I'm not a victim.
You had choices to suppress it. So if you didn't want it, and you were attracted to a man anyway, that means it was natural, does it not? Because you didn't want it.
No, it doesn't mean that. Does somebody who is depressed for as long as they can remember, is that natural? I'm not sure it is. And should they access talking therapy? Yes. Does that mean they'll never be depressed again? No, they may well go into it again.
So is it not the case, Mike, that while you are insisting that you do not support conversion therapy, actually you support talking conversion therapy? It's clear from this interview that's what you support, correct?
Will you allow me just for 1 minute to explain something?
I will.
So, in 1993, may not have the exact date, Helderman, an LGBT activist in the APA, first coined conversion therapy. It then drifted towards reparative therapy, and it's taken on a life that has kind of hovered between those two terms. Then in 2014, I think it was, reparative therapy was trademarked in the US, meaning that it has a legitimate status as a recognized modality within the USA. So then they couldn't use that term. Another term was invented around...
To be honest, I don't really care what was invented, Mike, and I don't mean to be facetious with that. I kind of think we're going off the story this morning and the subject matter we're talking about. It doesn't really matter what the terms are or who's trademarked it or who owns it. What matters is a human being feeling safe in our society, that no matter who they are or what their natural instincts are, that they don't need to suppress those and they don't need to think that they need some type of therapy to repair them.
Well, I would say this, Stephen, that we've come a long way on LGBT rights in the United Kingdom in terms of so-called equal marriage, etc. There are enough signals in the society that should give ample confidence to LGBT people. We are not saying that everybody has to hold our point of view. We are simply saying that we would like our place in the sun. that we represent a belief and a viewpoint that has legitimacy. It could be helped by a better invitation to have serious debate. But simply shutting us up and banning us is only going to encourage us to go in a different way. And it would be better if there were checks and balances and rules that were shared.
And I have one final question. After the talking that you did, are you no longer ever attracted to a male?
No, I'm not. I do not have the same emotional template that I once had. There was a time when I could not, look in a direction and feel confident that that was not happening. But that doesn't happen to me now. It's gone, and it is something that is, it's a different way for me to live.
Mike, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.